Just start this and then start this. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend once again in your word. Pray that you teach us, O God. Teach me, O God. Teach the men here and make this time fruitful, we pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Putting the hat back on. My head felt right. Very cold when doing that. Okay. Homework. John chapter 5. No, not John chapter 5. Sorry, John chapter 4.
I'm nervous already?
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, boy.
John chapter 4. So last week we did a comparison of John chapter 5 and John chapter 9. And we saw what happened in both of them. So let's do that. Let's try to go through this quickly. John chapter 4. Where does it occur?
Canaan of Galilee.
Samaria.
Canaan of Galilee, right?
Yeah.
When does it occur?
After 2 days. With the NIV says.
Okay. Any other time markers at all in the text?
Jesus was baptizing.
Was that yesterday at the seventh hour? Later passage.
All right. Now that's important. The detail. Yesterday at the seventh hour, because that tells you something about how far the guy went. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so just hold that in your head, because that's a pretty important detail. So,
When is the seventh hour?
Right after the 6 o'clock.
Well, I understand that. I think it's 1 o'clock.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure.
I'm just like, now you got into math. So somewhere.
It matters. I mean, if the seventh hour was real early.
No, no, it does matter. It's just I didn't know the conversion rate. All right, so who was involved?
Jesus.
Okay.
The nobleman.
The Galileans.
Sick son.
Anybody
servants.
Else? Anybody else?
The father and his whole house.
Son was at Capernaum.
Okay. All right.
When you said when, would you put in there like after he had made the water to wine? Would that be like a when or?
That could
after
be.
After the first miracle or?
It is after, because he says that this was the second sign that he performed it, but it's not as long as you're not saying this was immediately after.
Right.
So you could
say
it was after the wine sign.
Well, it's key because in this would be like some people are actually seeing a second sign, some people are hearing.
Very good. That's great. You hear what this point that he's making, because this is in Cana of Galilee, so that means that there's groups of people that already saw.
Sign.
The first sign, and here is in Cana of Galilee, at least the conversations being seen, heard, because it's not like they're seeing the performance of the miracle, but they hear, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe, and then no one sees a sign and wonder. No one sees it. Did you notice? It was not until almost a day later. Well, you know, Ron can give the conversion rate. Problem. What was the problem?
Sick.
Sick?
Unto the point of death.
Unto point of death.
So this is, he's desperate.
Yes. So this is a desperate man, right?
I also had the people not believing without signs of the problem.
Yes.
Yes. It seems when he said that, though, in 48, the people,
I put down the nobleman. He believed, but the people around did not believe.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting point. Like, so what was that that you said?
That was 48 when he mentioned, Jesus mentioned the, I have to show
unless
you signs,
people
unless
see
you see
that,
signs and wonders,
you will, by no
you will not.
Believe.
But he seemed like he believed right away.
Is that,
because when he heard that Jesus was in Galilee, he went right to him and said, "You're my son."
So
basically,
this is a good point Marty's making here, though, right? We saw how long it takes him to go home, right?
Yeah.
Now put yourself in his shoes. Your son's sick. Your son's dying. You decide to leave from where you are and go almost a full day away to go ask this guy. There's got to be something there,
right?
Right.
Even if it's a
something there,
seed, right?
Yeah. So I mean, like maybe it's a Hail Mary,
yeah.
But there's something there. So that is pretty interesting, though. I, you know what? For the faith category, let's put that further down. First, that the man goes right. Goes to Cana.
Yeah, I put down great faith with that.
Yeah, because, well, we'll see, though, a progression with his faith, too, which is pretty interesting. Because it is pretty impressive that he goes, but then it text actually says in verse 49 or 50.
49.
That it says,
come down before my son dies.
So he says, come down before my son dies. But in verse 50, Jesus says to him, go, your son lives. And then it says, the man believed.
Right. Yes.
So obviously, there's a belief. But, I mean, the guy was going to get Jesus to come to his home.
Sure.
So, I mean, could we list that as a problem, too, that Jesus is in Cana? In Cana?
His son's in Capernaum.
Son is in Capernaum. That's a pretty major obstacle in this text.
We see that it's quite a distance because of the...
And it's far, yes.
Is there a chance this guy was at the wedding?
I don't think so, only...
It was in Cana.
It was in Cana, but it could be
he
that...
He traveled a far way.
Yeah, it could be that, like...
Maybe his wife called him.
Yeah. Check it out. But, like, what's interesting is, like, so here's this nobleman, right?
Yeah.
But between chapter 4 here, chapter 4 with the Samaritans, Jesus has gone down to Jerusalem and down in between
right.
chapter 2 and 3, like that whole section. And in that chapter, I mean, we're now stepping out from the book of John. We have a lot of stuff that happens in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Right.
So there is the world's being turned upside down. Jesus is clearing out the temple. He's performing signs. He's doing this. He's performing that. Here's a nobleman. It could be that word gets around. And then the same thing as he's going up north. And he's like, oh, wait a second. I'm going to have to head over to Capernaum. Or Cana. This is where apparently he spends time. So it's
yeah.
All right. So yes.
Would you consider as when the Passover was near? That was in 55, or is that post? Is that post narrative?
55. Number
verse 55.
After this,
we're in 4.
Is yours listed as a 55?
I'm in 11 here. I don't know. Chapter 11.
Oh, no, we're in chapter 4.
You're raising Lazarus.
Wow. All right. But hold on to that, though, with
right.
the feast, though. All right. So, now, any other problems? Because if not,
issues.
Let's see the sign.
I was going to say.
All right. So what does happen here? What's the means for the sign?
Son was cured instantly.
Jesus tells him to go
from a distance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, from a distance.
From a distance.
A great distance.
A great distance.
You put time in there. Time and distance are no obstacle.
Yeah. That'll actually be some of the things that we'll talk about a little bit. The son was cured instantly. Now, we have a problem though, right? Son was cured instantly, and you mentioned about time and distance. Did the father know that he was cured instantly? It says.
No, he believed.
He believed.
Believed. Because you wonder, even when he's heading home, like, is he heading home?
With some, you know, I'm sure he brought it on. I mean, the guy had
right,
to move.
Right,
you know,
still had a little bit of doubt, right? Until the servants came to
he
him.
He asked when he was getting well. So if he asked, that means
right.
He wanted to know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, so he wanted to know, obviously. So that means that it sounds like he believed, but his belief wasn't confirmed until later
service.
On.
Right.
Right? So it's like, here he is. He meets the Lord, and his belief wasn't confirmed until later on. Yeah.
Well, I see a distinction in the details. It says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken, and later it just says, he believed.
Oh, no. This is very good. Look. This is the means, right? The word was spoken. Because how did Jesus perform this miracle? He says, go, and your son lives.
Right?
That's the word that was spoken, right?
Yep.
And this is right after he says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And he believes. Did he see a sign or a wonder?
No.
He saw no sign, no wonder. He believes. Then he goes. So then the result of this miracle, he goes home, right? We said that he gets there and he asks when was his son healed, right?
Is there a possibility?
Yes.
And as he was going down, his servants met him. It could be that the servants were anxious to meet him to tell him that.
Oh, yeah.
His son lived.
You have to imagine if you're the nobleman and you see your servants rushing to tell you something and your son is sick to death. It's probably not going to be good news, but he got quite a story.
There goes the belief right out the window.
Oh, no. So that's pretty interesting, though. So the result, the servants meet him. The servants meet him as he's approaching home. And then his belief is confirmed.
Well, yeah, I see a difference between the way in 53 it says, and himself believed. If he already truly believed in 50, then how could he have believed in 53? Right. There has to be a difference, and that's why I highlight the detail where it says he believed the word that Jesus had spoken versus and himself believed.
That's an interesting
point. Maybe the
point.
Difference between just believing what Jesus said is true and believing Jesus is who he says he is.
That's an interesting point. Now, hold on to that. Everybody did the study last week, right? We all did John 5. Think about how the next chapter is a man who goes and takes up his bed and walks, right? But then Jesus is approaching him and telling him about sinning no more. And it doesn't sound like the man believed, right? Think about that. So here's a man who believes, and believes. So it's almost like there's three stages here listed of belief. He has first enough belief to go, but then he has enough belief to actually believe the words that Jesus says and trust him to go home, like the man who was blind. Remember that he's walking to the pool to go wash, and he's going to the pool. And then, now when he's arrived home, he's gotten to the final destination, now his belief is confirmed so that he believes. But it's not like it's a different belief. It's almost like it's gotten to the point of, here it is. A hope that's been realized, and now your assurance is more secure, maybe. That's interesting.
But it's not necessarily a better belief.
It's not necessarily
because,
a better belief.
Anybody can believe that way.
Yes.
If you've been healed of something and you see it, who can't believe what they see?
Interestingly enough, the man in the next chapter
doesn't do that.
And it happens immediately. But that's interesting, right? So here we have, and in fact, what we even saw, if we go back to John chapter 6, do you remember the crowd? So here we are in John chapter 4. Then John chapter 5, a story about a man who is healed, and he doesn't seem to believe. And then in John chapter 6, what happened in John chapter 6?
Feeding of the
5,000. These people saw something amazing, right? And what does Jesus say about them? You don't seek after me because you saw signs and wonders. Same thing! But because your bellies were filled. Actually, let's hop there. Let's hop there real quick. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." But they did see signs, right? And yet, this group of people, who the text describes them as disciples, they stopped following him. So they believed, but they didn't believe. So John, this is important because I want to bring this out. So when you're going through the book of John, maybe highlight some of those things. When you're seeing the belief, note the difference of belief, because their belief, we sometimes take it and we take a magical properties and we add them to a word. Belief is a good thing all the time. And John seems to say, yeah, not if you're not following. Mm-hmm. And then somebody, oh, so then discipleship is good all the time. And John will say, well, not if you're not believing. You can follow all you want, but if you're not believing. So look at those things. All right, so let's jump to the faith. Who is the people that believe? The man. Right?
Yes.
And he has the three beliefs. Right? What was that?
His whole household.
So here's the man. He's there. He asked the question. So obviously, if they believed, what does that tell you? He told them, right? He was like, "Ah, this is amazing. I was over there." And this. So he says, so we're done with the John 4? Are there any other notes for John 4?
Just that he knew the same hour that his son was.
Same hour. This is also a pretty interesting point, too. I mean, yeah, that he knows how far he traveled, but it's also like the idea that he had that mulling around in his head. So, like, I'm now an hour away from when he said this. I'm now 5 hours away from when he said this. You know what I mean? It's not like they had an iPhone that he could look at the time.
There's something else here, too.
Yes.
I mean, when we talk about, because under means, I had Jesus tells him to go.
Yes.
We mentioned Jesus speaks the word. But then also the official takes Jesus at his word and goes.
Yes.
But what happens if the official says, "No, you must come. You must come." What if he doesn't believe that at that moment his son hadn't been healed, and he kind of insists that Jesus, the boy is still healed, right?
It sounds like he would have been
healed.
What
does that say about our involvement in the Lord doing something in our lives?
It sounds like, in some cases, unlike the man in chapter 9, it sounds like it could be, sometimes it's all him. Yeah. And it's just his word.
Because the whole movement of faith healing constantly teaches that you have faith, that you do something, and then because of that, as a result, God works.
Yeah.
But then there's these
That's
cases
pretty interesting.
That pretty much throw that whole notion
exactly.
out the window.
Exactly. That's pretty interesting. And it's the only thing that's important here is that his word is effective in completing what he said it would. So you're right. It's not like it was dependent on the nobleman to make it happen. There are signs in other books where it's dependent on the person acting. In John 9, it's dependent on the guy going and washing. But it's him speaking. You're right. Completely. All right, so let's hop to John 11. Yes?
I have just one question. I don't know if this makes any difference or not. Every time it says a certain man, does it just figure of speech, a certain man?
Yeah.
So, okay.
So it's like saying, now there was a guy.
Yeah, because it says it on every one.
Yeah.
A certain man, distinction.
Yeah, and then like I think if the woman in Samaria, it would say, now there was a certain woman of Samaria.
Okay.
So it's like saying some guy, but without listening. All right, so John 11. This one's hard. I mean, not because it's not obvious. It's just because there's so much stuff in it. So we might fly because I want to get to the comparisons pretty quickly. So let's try to do this one in about 7 minutes. All right. Where does this occur?
Bethany.
Bethany. All right. Where is Bethany?
Near Jerusalem.
Near Jerusalem. It's pretty interesting that John would want to highlight this stuff, right?
It's also in Judea. That's a minor thing.
No, it counts. Judea, because that means he's not up in Galilee, right? When does this occur?
Near the Passover, right? No, that's my question. Is this a post-comment in verse 55? Is that a post-event, a comment, or is that part of our...
What is interesting here, because remember when we said that there was four major movements in the book of John, that he goes from Galilee down to Judea and back up to Galilee. It happens four times. So here in chapter 11, when he's doing when John tends to say, now there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went down to, so he tends to do that. But here in chapter 11, what he does, has Jesus go down. He mentions how Bethany is near Jerusalem. It's pretty far down there. And then at the end of this event, he says, now there was a feast of the Jews, the Passover was at hand. And then in chapter 12, it starts talking about him going to Jerusalem. So I think what's important here is I think that he's saying it's the Passover doesn't happen at this exact time. It's probably right after or nearby the event, because that's when he gets crucified. But it's saying, here's Jesus, he's on his final trip, by the way. He's going down to Judea, so John is calling attention to that. And then at the end of the book, John chapter 21, we see him where? They're fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They're back north again. So that's how the book ends. So from down, back, and back up again. It's just interesting. But let's John chapter 11. So when does it go? We said it was near Passover. It was at hand, but it wasn't yet, because that's where he gets crucified.
It says Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter.
That's John chapter 10, right? Now that would be a different event. So that's John chapter 10, the Feast of Dedication, right?
Right, so it was right before that. Well, I was trying to lock in the time there.
Yeah, because when does Passover occur?
In the spring, right?
Yeah, it's like around the springtime.
Dedication's in December.
And dedication is in the winter, yeah.
Okay, so maybe that was far.
So it's probably around the springtime there, because that's about 7 or so days before that, maybe 10 days. So... any other markers of when in this passage? All right. Who?
A whole host, yeah.
A bunch of people, right? So, I mean, if we could list them without writing them down, we got Mary, we got Martha, we got Jesus, we got the disciples. We got Thomas mentioned, right?
Yeah.
We have the people who are visiting, the people Jews. who are there for the funeral. Right? That were the mourners. We have the Jews mentioned. We have the people who are actually in town for the Passover. And then we even have, near the end of the chapter, the Pharisees, and the high priest.
Should we list Lazarus?
And Lazarus. Kind of important. Kind of important. All right.
He was there and he kind of wasn't.
He wasn't all there.
All right, so what was the problem? What was the problem?
Lazarus is dead.
Oh, he had a problem before that.
Lazarus is sick.
Sick unto death.
Sick unto death, right? Because they get the news that he's sick unto death, right? So what are they insinuating by sending him the letter? They're saying, Jesus, come down, because Lazarus is sick. Now, any other problems? We find out that he dies, right?
Mm-hmm. If you had been here, my brother would not have died.
So we have the been here. We have the problem of if you had been here. Now, is that true? Because now what we should be saying here is that one of the problems is not so much that if he had been there, he wouldn't have died. Because we're going to compare to John 4. Does distance have anything to do with it?
Well, but it's a problem as far as the
people. As far as that. So the people say or believe. That he had to be there. Yes, Daniel.
I mean, I was thinking about this. In a sense, they're saying, Jesus, if you had been here, or if you had been here, or if we had been there. But considering the Father, I mean, in some thought, he is. He is there. It's just he's not there in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. That's a good theological point. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
In 4, when he said, this sickness is not unto death, he was saying that he wasn't separated from God. He was physically dead, but not spiritually. At least that's what I see.
I'm going to put sickness not unto death because it's a problem that he does die.
It is.
But I looked at it as separation from God completely.
We won't get into that, but we'll keep going quickly. All right, so what else? Any other problems?
I mean, I guess the Jews were there. That's kind of a problem because they were seeking to stone him only a couple chapters before.
Jesus delayed.
Jesus delayed, yeah. Any other problems?
I guess the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying.
Failure to understand. Now, this is important here. What does Jesus say when about this failure to understand? Notice what he says in John chapter 11. If you don't mind reading that out.
Lazarus is... Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him.
Hold up. So here's a problem. If you had been here, this never would have happened. And Jesus says, I'm happy I wasn't there. That's interesting, right? Because if I was there, you wouldn't have believed. Well, that's interesting, right? So let's stop for a second and do comparisons. This man, did he believe with Jesus being there down at Capernaum, up at Capernaum?
He believed.
He believed, but Jesus didn't go with him, right?
No.
And here, Jesus says, I'm happy I wasn't there because if we had gone, you wouldn't have believed. It's better that we stay here so that you can believe.
You know what else is an interesting thing here is Martha and Mary were very close to Jesus. I mean, they had a relationship with him that seems, you know, very close where, and it's almost like they doubt. In other words, he had to be there. Where the nobleman, you don't really hear of him at all, and he believed.
All right. Let's keep going.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Because Martha and Mary said it at both two different times. Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. But I also put down there, seemed that Martha and Mary were kind of discouraged with the Lord for not showing up right away. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems to me.
Nope. That's fine. What else do we... Yes?
The whole issue of time seems to be a factor here.
Oh,
shit. It keeps coming up. And it relates back before, too, in a sense.
Yeah. Time seems to be a major factor in this story, right? Seems to be a major factor. So wait a second. I mean, still sticking with this time thing. Jesus doesn't go. He delays. Right? He gets the news. He delays. He shows up. If you had been here, it would have been fine.
That's where they were discouraged.
They're discouraged. Now, so what does he do? Does he go? So he goes to the tomb, right? He goes to the tomb. Does he go into the tomb?
Oh, no.
He doesn't even go into the tomb. He doesn't go in. Did you notice that? So here's, like, they wanted him to be there with Lazarus. Maybe put a little hand over him or something. And he doesn't even go. When he resurrects Lazarus, does he take off any of the grave robes?
No.
Does he touch him?
No.
What does he do? The next thing we see them doing in John chapter 12 is having a meal. That's wild, right? So like the whole time, they wanted him nearby, and he comes close enough. Okay, hold on to that. Time, space is a factor. I don't mean outer space, I mean distance.
It's all in God's time.
Well, it is all in God's time. And Jesus seems to know the schedule.
Right.
Oh, man. Sorry. Let's try to quickly finish this up. The means, how does he heal him?
He says, Lazarus, come out.
Well, first you have to roll away the stone.
That's true.
That's right.
Lazarus, come up. Roll stone away. He speaks. His word's effective, right?
Yeah.
And the result? Lazarus come out, right? Laz comes out. Who removes the robes and the grave clothes from him? From Lazarus. What was that?
Those that were there,
right?
Those that were there, yeah.
He tells other people to do it. He doesn't even take off the
head.
So wait a second. So they see his word, they see the sign, and then he gets them involved, not in performing the sign, but actually getting the evidence of it. Because what was it important, though, what they said before the stone was rolled away? What was the important thing that they said?
He's like, he stinketh.
Yeah, I like how the King James says it, right?
Yeah.
He stinketh. But it says, so what would happen then when they roll away the stone? What's the first thing that hits them?
The
smell, right? So they get hit with the smell. This is a very physical event. They get hit with the smell. They see the grave. And then they hear him command. The glasses come out. He comes out. And now they get to touch him as they're removing the robes.
Do we know that it smells?
I'm pretty sure it does. It's a corpse.
They expected it, but did it happen?
I would think it does. But you're right. It doesn't say it. We're just going with what happens with dead things.
Okay.
I think also when he said before then, he said he thanked the Father for giving him the power to raise him and see it all.
No, there was also something important about that prayer. What does he say in that prayer?
He said he didn't need to pray.
So you heard me.
For their sake.
Yes, right?
Yes.
Is that great? He doesn't say, he's not saying like, oh, please answer this.
Yes.
He says, I don't need to do this. I'm doing this for the sake of those here.
Yes.
Who are seeing and hearing. That's interesting. Okay. The result, and now any faith that we see in the chapter? This is interesting how it does this in this chapter, by the way.
Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus had believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done.
Oh, so we have here faith of some, right? So these people believe.
Oh, wow.
Now the other people, do they not believe the sign?
They
did believe the sign. But what was their difference?
They're angry.
They're angry! So they have a different belief, right? These people believe, and they go rat Jesus out.
I just see a really interesting conclusion when he's talking about the rich man Lazarus, and then he says, you will not believe even if one were to rise from the dead. And then he brings Lazarus back to life, and a bunch of people go and tell the Pharisees
and they don't
exactly
believe
what he said would happen.
All right, so we have here then also two different types of belief, right? We have a belief of people that are like, wow. And then we have a belief of people like, whoa. And they go and tell, right? Is that, all right, so let's do our comparisons because I am taking too much time. Our comparisons. I'm going to list the types of belief, but you guys are supposed to be giving me your homework answers. So what's the, give me some of the belief, the
both,
comparisons you got.
Both were sick.
Both sick. Unto death,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Actually, I should make this with a Venn diagram. Probably would be better.
Both of them were healed by Jesus speaking.
Healed by Jesus speaking. All right?
Both were far away from Jesus.
Both far from Jesus. All right? Any other comparisons?
After 2 days, it was both and both.
And remember, these comparisons and contrasts help us see what the text is saying. It just helps us see those details. Any differences?
Yeah, one was cured instantly. One was cured 4 days.
Instant. And this one dies. Mm-hmm. Then what? Cured instant, right?
Yeah. After 4 days.
After 4 days.
Well, one was raised from the dead, and one was just healed.
Yes. Healed. Raised. All right. Other differences? Remember, faith is an important aspect in these stories, because John says that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing on Him, you have life in His name. So, any differences in the belief?
Nobody got angry that the nobleman's son was healed.
No one angry.
But when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Jews ratted out Jesus.
Huh. Here, did anyone see signs or wonders?
No.
No one saw, right? It was confirmed later, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Here, did anyone see signs or wonders?
Everyone saw.
Everyone saw. Right? Everyone saw. It was confirmed immediately. But, big difference though. Well, maybe. Here, what was Jesus' response to the request of healing? Did he sound happy about the request?
He wept.
In John chapter 4, when he was asked about come heal my son, how does his response sound?
There was a sense of frustration. It was like, unless you see signs or wonders.
Unless you
not
see
believe.
Signs. Unless you see signs, man. Unless you see signs, and yet, this man believes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here, what's Jesus' reaction to the people constantly stating, if you had been here, if you had been here, and the weeps.
He weeps.
We also see he, I guess the King James says that he was moved in his spirit.
Mm-hmm. He groaned in his spirit.
Groaned in his spirit, right? So he groans. Now that word, it actually is a word for being angry in spirit.
Why? Because of their unbelief?
It doesn't say. But it is interesting that it's constantly in the context of the people saying, if you had been here. And he has a very important discussion while he's talking to them. What does he say to Martha? What does he say? He says about the question about the resurrection and the life, right?
Yeah.
And then she says, of course I believe. I believe in that. What? She believes in the future resurrection and life. But what does Jesus say in response to her? This is important, what he says in response to her question about when she takes the future. And she says the resurrection and life is something happening at the end of time. What does he say?
Whoever believes in me shall not die with liberty.
Yes, but he says before that, who is the resurrection and the life?
I
am the resurrection and the life.
I feel like that sort of puts emphasis on the imminence of his coming, like how he could come at any time, because like the resurrection could happen whenever Jesus says it will. You know, it's like it's all in his hands, it's at his authority and power whenever he says it's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if we take a step back then, so here we see a story of the story of a man who believes, but his faith isn't confirmed until later on, until he arrives home. And here we have a story of people who are talking, Martha and Mary, are talking about the end times, that they're going to see Lazarus again. They have a belief that they're going to see him again one day. But Jesus is the thing that makes the difference. They see him again that day. So they were expecting something to happen way back, way down in the future, the resurrection of the life. Is it true, the resurrection of the dead? Yeah, it's a true event. But Jesus says it's all dependent on me. I'm the resurrection of the life. You'll see Lazarus again. And then he raises him. And they see the confirmation of their faith, the confirmation of what's going to happen in the future, right at that moment. Doesn't the nobleman get that same sort of event? He gets told about the thing that happens, and he sees in the future the confirmation of his past belief. These people have a belief in something happening in the future, and they see the confirmation of that future event that they haven't seen yet happen right in their presence when Lazarus is resurrected. Is that weird? So John, writing down that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you have eternal life in his name. What's a lesson that we could get out of that? When Jesus says that you have eternal life and we haven't seen it yet, this man gets his faith confirmed later on in life, a day or so later. These people get the proof right away that what's going to happen in the future is true. What do we get out of it? Don't we get confirmation right now that Jesus really is the eternal life? We haven't seen our faith confirmed yet. We believe it. But one day we'll arrive there, and will we believe? Oh, yeah. Because we'll see it. But we've believed already, and we have this evidence right in front of us.